When you buy a vintage car, the first thing you do is pop the hood, right?
Yeah, exactly. You want to see the actual engine.
Right. You look at the engine block, you check the transmission fluid, you listen to how it idles, and if the engine purrs and the price is right, you basically just hand over the cash and drive off.
Which, I mean, for decades, that was sort of the gold standard of buying a business, too.
Totally. If the revenue engine was running, you made the deal.
Yeah, the underlying assumption was really that the engine was the only mechanism that dictated value. Like, a strong balance sheet meant a healthy company.
But imagine driving that beautifully restored car off the lot, and I don't know, a week later, the local authorities impound it because the previous owner used it in a string of robberies.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right. And then you get a notice from the environmental agency saying the custom paint job is emitting these toxic, illegal fumes.
It just keeps getting worse.
It does. And to top it all off, you discover the high-end radio system is actually transmitting your live location to some third-party data broker.
That is a nightmare scenario.
Exactly. Suddenly, that perfectly functioning engine doesn't matter at all. The asset you just bought is actually this massive radioactive liability.
It becomes a toxic asset overnight.
Yeah.
And, that exact realization that the hidden mechanisms of a company can completely destroy its financial value is really what has fundamentally upended the world of corporate mergers and acquisitions.
Which brings us perfectly to today's deep dive. We are looking at the 2026 landscape of mergers and acquisitions, specifically focusing on the incredibly dynamic market of India.
It's a fascinating space right now.
It really is. Our source material today is a February 2026 report titled India M&A Due Diligence, ESG Tech and Compliance Risks, and it's authored by Chavi Gaur of KNM India.
Right.
Our mission here for you listening is to uncover why evaluating a company for purchase has evolved from like a simple math test into this massive multi-layered investigation that requires intense, specialized professional expertise.
Because, I mean, this isn't merely an industry trend we are looking at here. It is a profound structural change in how global business assesses risk.
Yeah.
And it's being heavily driven by a rapidly maturing and, frankly, highly aggressive regulatory environment across India.
Okay, let's unpack this. The core premise of this KNM India report is that buying a business today requires a fundamentally different mindset than it did even a decade ago.
Absolutely.
It's no longer just about the money, it's about the code, the culture, and the carbon footprint. But to understand why the professional advisory industry has just exploded, we kind of have to look at the baseline we're moving away from.
Right, the historical approach to due diligence.
Exactly. Historically, M&A due diligence focused almost entirely on the financial review. Like you wanted to buy a mid-sized logistics company in Mumbai, you sent in the
Yeah,
accountants.
they just validated the reported numbers, they checked the outstanding
Yeah,
debts.
verify the cash flows against the bank statements, all that. It was, for all intents and purposes, just a forensic audit of the balance sheet.
And for a very long time, that methodology was considered entirely sufficient.
Because business value was largely tied to tangible assets, right? Like warehouses, fleets of trucks, physical inventory.
Exactly, and very straightforward revenue streams. But, in 2026, relying purely on a financial audit is a guaranteed recipe for a failed integration.
Complete disaster.
Right. I mean, financial analysis is still the baseline. You obviously still need to know the math works. But the report makes a really compelling case that non-financial risks are the silent killers of deal value.
It's basically like buying a house without getting a professional inspection. The price tag on the listing fits your budget. The neighborhood is up and coming. But what if there is structural rot inside the load-bearing wall?
Yeah, or what if the city zoning laws are scheduled to change next month?
Right. Meaning you can't even operate your home business there anymore. You wouldn't just look at the mortgage interest rate. You would hire a professional inspector to physically crawl into the attic and check the wiring.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what we were really seeing is the evolution of global best practices colliding with this hyper-digital Indian
Oh,
economy.
that's a great way to put it.
Because a company's value today is overwhelmingly intangible. It lives in their proprietary algorithms, their market reputation, their human capital, and of course, their environmental footprint.
So non-financial compliance is just as critical to survival as raw revenue.
Exactly. Let's say you audit that pristine balance sheet, right?
Yeah.
The deal closes. And literally a week later, the National Green Tribunal shuts down your newly acquired manufacturing plant because of, say, unauthorized groundwater extraction.
Oof.
That historically great revenue stream just drops to zero immediately.
And that reality totally rewrites the buyer's playbook. Because if a strong balance sheet isn't enough to protect your investment, what exactly are these professional advisory teams investigating before they sign off on a deal?
They are looking at a lot.
Right. The K&M India report lays out this massive new blueprint, basically expanding the diligence checklist across several massive new domains. Let's look at the first major pillar, technology and intellectual property.
Technology assets sit at the very center of almost every transaction today. It really doesn't matter whether you are buying a software startup or, you know, a traditional textile manufacturer.
Everything runs on tech now.
Everything. So professional due diligence services are deploying specialized teams to dig incredibly deep into a target's IT infrastructure.
And reading through the report, it's pretty clear this goes way beyond just asking the IT guy if the antivirus software is up to date.
Oh, absolutely.
Professional buyers are hunting for outdated legacy systems, you know, the kind of ancient patched together servers that will cost millions to integrate post-merger.
But even more critically, they are really stress testing data privacy compliance.
Oh, the DPDP Act.
Right. With the strict enforcement of India's Digital Personal Data Protection Act, the penalties for mishandling consumer data are essentially existential for a company.
So a professional M&A team today actually includes ethical hackers.
Yes. They actively probe the target company's defenses for vulnerabilities before the deal is ever signed.
That is wild. And that technical probing is paired with a deep legal investigation into the intellectual property itself, right?
Yes. The value of the target often hinges entirely on its IP portfolio, the patents, the trademarks, and the underlying code.
But an IP lawyer on a professional advisory team isn't just like checking a government registry to see if a patent exists.
No, they are verifying clean chains of title.
Meaning they need to prove the company actually owns what it sells.
Precisely. They have to ask some really tough questions. Are there any hidden licensing disputes? Did the freelance developers in Pune, you know, the ones who wrote the core algorithms 5 years ago, actually sign the correct IP assignment waivers?
Oh, right, because if they didn't,
they could secretly retain a legal claim to the software that drives the entire company's revenue.
Wow.
Uncovering those hidden traps requires a highly specialized legal lens.
Which naturally leads us to the next massive layer of modern due diligence. Because it's not just the hardware and the software that carry hidden liabilities.
Not at all.
Even if a target company has, like, perfect code and ironclad IP ownership, the physical servers running that code and the supply chain supporting the business, they require massive amounts of resources.
Which brings us to the ESG pillar. Environmental, social, and governance.
Right. And I feel like we all know ESG has been kind of a public relations buzzword for the last decade. But this report suggests it has mutated into hardcore, quantifiable financial risk management.
The shift has been dramatic, to say the least. In the Indian market, regulatory bodies like SEBI, the Securities and Exchange Board of India, they have introduced these incredibly stringent business responsibility and sustainability reporting norms.
So buyers are deploying actual environmental scientists.
Yeah, to examine pollution controls, measure carbon footprints, audit hazardous waste disposal methods.
And the social aspect is equally scrutinized, I assume.
Very much so. They are auditing supply chain ethics and labor practices.
So if the company you are acquiring relies heavily on a third-party supplier in another state, and that supplier utilizes exploitative labor practices,
that is no longer just a PR headache. That is a direct legal liability that transfers to you upon acquisition.
Yeah.
It directly impacts the cost of capital as well. A poor ESG audit during due diligence can actually block the acquiring company's access to favorable financing from global banks.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it's entirely separate from the damage it does to consumer perception. You really cannot isolate environmental compliance from financial health anymore. They're the same thing.
I follow the logic on the technology audits, definitely, and I see how environmental compliance is legally binding. But I kind of want to push back on the third pillar the report outlines, which is human resources and culture.
Okay, let's hear it.
Look, I understand bringing in a professional team to stress test a firewall. You can measure network latency. I understand measuring carbon output. But cultural compatibility, is this something a professional advisory team can actually measure during a 30-day diligence window? Or is this just, you know, an excuse to bill more hours? How do you audit a company's internal vibes?
Yeah, that skepticism is incredibly common, honestly, especially among traditional financial analysts.
Well, I bet.
But what's fascinating here is that in the Indian M&A market, which is characterized by deep regional nuances, varied management styles, and just fierce competition for talent auditing culture is actually an exercise in auditing structural alignment.
Okay.
It's not about vibes. It is completely about operational continuity.
Okay, make that real for me. If they aren't looking at whether the break room has a ping pong table, what are the HR professionals actually measuring?
Think about decision-making autonomy and compensation frameworks.
All right.
Imagine a massive traditional manufacturing conglomerate based in Delhi. They have rigid hierarchies, strict reporting lines, and a firm in-office mandate.
Very old school.
Right. Now imagine they were acquiring a highly agile, decentralized fintech startup based in Bengaluru, where the team works remotely and makes unilateral product decisions.
Oh, I see where this is going.
If that Delhi conglomerate forces their legacy operating system onto that Bengaluru startup, the cultural clash is immediate and measurable.
And the talent walks.
Exactly. They don't just complain. They resign and go to a competitor by the end of the month. So the professional advisory team is brought in to map those key talent dependencies.
Right.
If the entire valuation of that Bengaluru fintech is based on the output of its top 20 engineers, and those engineers are completely misaligned with the acquiring company's management structure,
you are looking at a mass exodus.
You just paid $50 million for empty laptops and a brand name.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So the professional HR audit is essentially defensive mapping.
Yes.
They review the employment contracts, the retention bonuses, and the pending labor tribunal disputes. But they also evaluate whether the fundamental operating systems of the human beings involved are compatible.
And if they aren't compatible, the advisory team helps structure specific earnouts or transition plans to lock in that key talent before the deal even closes. It is highly strategic risk mitigation.
But this brings us to a massive practical roadblock. We have just established that the modern checklist is absolutely staggering.
It is huge.
We are checking the underlying source code, the server security, the carbon output, the supply chain ethics, the groundwater permits, the IP ownership, and the internal reporting hierarchies of the staff.
That's a lot of reading.
Exactly. If human eyes cannot physically process this volume of data in a standard 30 to 60 day due diligence window, especially in the Indian private sector where records aren't always pristine.
Right.
How does a professional team actually get this done? Like, if I'm an advisor, I must be deploying software to do the heavy lifting here. Are we talking about AI screening?
We are. The sheer volume of unstructured data in a modern transaction would basically paralyze a traditional legal team.
I can imagine.
The entire process has moved into highly secure virtual data rooms. But the real breakthrough in 2026 is the deployment of custom-trained artificial intelligence and natural language processing models.
So the AI is actually reading the documents.
It is ingesting tens of thousands of pages simultaneously. And these AI tools are trained specifically on Indian corporate law and compliance standards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they can scan 10,000 vendor contracts in a matter of hours, specifically flagging non-standard indemnity clauses, unusual payment terms, or missing compliance certificates.
That's incredibly fast.
The AI creates a real-time dashboard that highlights anomalies the second the target company's data is uploaded to the secure room.
But wait, I have to challenge this.
Sure.
The report explicitly highlights that data from private Indian companies is often just a chaotic mess. It can be incomplete, poorly digitized, or even deliberately obscured.
That is very true.
So if we take a mountain of messy, outdated, inconsistent PDFs and we just feed them into an AI model, aren't we just accelerating the production of terrible insights, like garbage in, garbage out?
Right. That's a very valid concern.
How can a buyer trust a multi-million dollar acquisition to a machine learning algorithm reading bad data?
Well, you've hit on the exact reason why the professional advisory industry is booming, rather than being replaced by software. The AI does not generate the final verdict. It acts as a very fast, very powerful spotlight. It tells the human expert exactly where to look.
I see.
AI is purely a tool for velocity. But it requires intense, contextual, professional verification.
Ah, okay. So the AI says, hey, I scanned these 50 employment contracts from the regional office, and the severance language here is completely different from the national baseline.
Yes.
But it takes the human employment lawyer to step in and say, well, that's actually because those contracts are governed by a specific state-level labor code in Maharashtra.
Exactly that. Cross-verifying the machine's flags against real-world regulatory context is mandatory.
Got it.
Because if the AI spots a sudden discrepancy in a supply chain ledger regarding raw material costs, the algorithm doesn't really know why it happened.
Right.
A human forensic accountant has to investigate. Was it just a simple data entry error by a CERC? Was it a temporary price spike due to local monsoon flooding?
Or is the target company deliberately inflating costs to hide kickbacks?
Exactly. The machine cannot reliably make those distinctions, especially in a nuanced market with frequent state-by-state regulatory updates.
Which leads directly into the core thesis of this K&M India report. If the risks are this existential, the investigative checklist is this broad, the data is this overwhelming, and the AI requires constant expert contextualization.
Yes.
The era of do-it-yourself due diligence is pretty much dead and buried.
It is completely extinct.
Yeah.
Unless you are a massive multinational conglomerate with a standing army of internal specialists, you simply cannot execute this level of scrutiny internally.
So buyers today absolutely require end-to-end support from professional M&A advisory partners.
They do. It's non-negotiable.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because you aren't just hiring an accounting firm anymore.
Not at all.
Reading through the frameworks in this report, it sounds less like corporate finance and more like a buyer is assembling like a professional Avengers-style task force.
That's actually a great analogy.
Right. You need a forensic accountant to trace the cash, a corporate lawyer to analyze the state-level contracts, an ethical hacker to stress-test the cloud servers, an environmental scientist to audit the waste disposal, and an organizational psychologist to map the culture.
And they all have to be working concurrently, sharing insights in real time.
This raises an important question, though. Oh, wait, I think I stole your line.
Oh, you did, but it's true. This raises an important question. If the baseline requirement for a safe acquisition involves deploying this multidisciplinary army of highly paid experts, how does a mid-sized Indian company looking to grow through acquisition ever actually afford this?
That was exactly my thought.
Right. Doesn't the cost of the professional diligence itself become prohibitive to the deal?
Yeah, like if I'm buying a $10 million company, I can't spend $2 million just to inspect it.
And this is exactly where elite professional advisory firms really demonstrate their value. They do not apply a rigid, one-size-fits-all sledgehammer to every transaction.
Oh, okay.
They use highly tailored, sector-specific frameworks to scale the task force according to the specific risk profile of the target.
Meaning they don't audit a software company the same way they audit a chemical plant.
Precisely. Well, if you are acquiring a cloud-based software firm, the environmental audit is going to be incredibly light.
Right.
The advisory team scales down the environmental scientists and heavily scales up the cybersecurity experts and IP lawyers. They use the AI tools to triage the data room, prioritizing the highest risk areas first.
Makes sense.
And if the tech stack is just a total disaster, they can advise the buyer to halt the deal before they ever start billing for, say, the cultural audit.
So the professional advisory firm essentially acts as this highly efficient risk filtration system.
They do. And ultimately, they turn what could be a paralyzing, expensive process into a strategic advantage.
How so?
Well, by uncovering a hidden data privacy liability early in the process, the advisory team either saves the buyer from making a catastrophic mistake, or they provide the exact leverage the buyer needs to negotiate, like a 20% reduction in the final purchase price.
Oh, so the professional diligence basically pays for itself.
In many cases, absolutely.
So what does this all mean for you listening? If we step back and look at the whole picture painted by this 2026 report, it's clear that modern M&A due diligence has transformed into a holistic, tech-enabled, deeply professional endeavor.
Very much so.
The days of simply checking the math and hoping for the best are totally over.
It requires total comprehensive visibility into the mechanics of the business.
And whether you are involved in corporate strategy, maybe you're a founder thinking about eventually selling your business, or just a naturally curious learner trying to understand how the global economy functions behind the scenes, this is an incredibly powerful mental model to adopt.
It really is.
Understanding that an organization's true value and its most dangerous hidden liabilities goes far beyond its debt account really changes how you view any business.
Yeah.
A company is a living, breathing ecosystem.
Yeah.
It's the integrity of its code, its impact on the local environment, its legal standing across different jurisdictions, and the complex human beings who actually make it function every single day.
And you cannot isolate those variables.
Yeah.
You can't separate the financial health from the supply chain ethics or, you know, the cybersecurity from the workplace culture.
Right.
They're deeply interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And a failure in one domain invariably bleeds into the financial reality of the entire entity.
Which leaves us with a lingering, slightly provocative thought to consider. We've spent this entire time exploring how professional due diligence is rapidly expanding to measure literally every single aspect of a company's existence, from the foundational source code hidden on its servers down to the specific cultural quirks of its regional managers.
It's a massive undertaking.
The professional advisory industry is building smarter AI, deploying bigger teams, and digging deeper than ever before to eliminate risk.
The quest for perfect information.
Exactly. But business inherently requires taking a risk. So as these professional frameworks become even more expansive and even more meticulous in the coming years, at what point does the sheer cost, time, and friction of verifying every molecule of a business start to outweigh the actual strategic value of buying it?
That's the million-dollar question. Because if you demand absolute certainty, you might miss the market window entirely.
Right. Because if you spend a year inspecting every single inch of that vintage car, if you take apart the engine block to check for microscopic stress fractures, send the dashboard paint to a lab in Switzerland, and hire a private investigator to run background checks on the mechanic who tuned it last decade.
Yeah.
By the time you're finally ready to sign the papers, the opportunity to actually drive it might have passed you by entirely.
Finding that exact tipping point, you know, balancing the need for professional security against the necessity of speed is really the defining challenge for business leaders today.
It really is. The math is easy. It's everything else that's hard. Until next time, keep looking beneath the hood.